that was a good job.
Hello, Texas.
Hello, Texas. So I guess we're on this thing.
Yeah, we are doing a surprise episode 2. Tim and I have committed to one a month, and we had so much fun with the first one that we're going for episode 2.
I think so, and maybe trying to get a little bit ahead of the curve some. And
yeah, so episode 1 was a success.
You know, mildly, I think so. I mean, we got it out. I think success by that one was determined by, can we put these pieces together?
Yeah.
And make something that is palatable to listen to. And it was good. Your interview with John Napier.
That was fun.
Man.
And John is a good person to have as the first interview because he's just a fascinating guy and he's a musician above all else.
Yeah, and it's there were so many things there that you kind of realize this guy's kind of a big deal. He's one of those guys that he, not saying there's a lot of like skeletons in the closet or he knows where the bodies are buried. You know what? He may know where the bodies are buried. I don't know. but you know, he's connected to a lot of really cool people, and yeah. I bet his stories are just phenomenal.
So we're 11 days in the Hello Texas 2020.
Yeah.
How was the Sugar Bowl? Let's talk about the Sugar Bowl.
The Sugar Bowl. That's the one where the Georgia Bulldogs from Georgia, where I'm from.
Not New Caney?
Nope. Georgia. Okay. They whooped up on the Baylor Bears.
Who?
Yeah, right, exactly. that would be Baylor. No, here's
nobody could see that coming.
Yeah, right. Listen, their coach is he done a lot of good stuff with them.
He's coaching for Carolina now, making $62 million a year.
That's right. Like that. That's right. He was good, but he wasn't good enough to beat us. So yeah. there's that. And we had a lot of people out. It was a great game. Just as good as the game was New Orleans.
Yeah, that was the food.
Oh, so we went with Melissa's oldest daughter and her husband. And if you ever, I've been telling this joke since we've come back. If you want to find out just how much your life is not together, man, you just spend 3 days with Heather. Oh, she's so organized. And I'm kind of envious of that. You know, man, we were eating, and not really, but I felt like we were eating like every 3 or 4 hours. And we ate only the authentic stuff. I learned a new word, bougie. You ever heard?
No, I haven't heard.
Bougie. So bougie is Miller's. We just had lunch at Miller's in Belton, Texas. Fantastic food. Oh, that just. All right. So we'll just move on from that. Squirrel. Bougie is those really nice places, kind of a little expensive, a little posh. We didn't eat nowhere like that. We ate the places that normal people can afford to eat.
You ate at Mother's.
We ate at Mother's. Oh, let me. The bread pudding. And we all got something different.
It's one of the top 5 places I've ever eaten in my lifetime.
We want to go back just to try something different.
Yeah.
It's so good.
When it's not crowded and you can go wherever you want, you don't have to stand in line. It's totally worth that trip.
Yeah, and we stood in line for a little bit. We stood in line for about 30 minutes. Yeah. But every 3 or 4 hours, Heather had us eating something authentic from New Orleans that you can't get anywhere else. And right. that was just incredible. What's not incredible is like the 25 pounds that I put on through the holidays.
You and I both.
Listen, I'm not mad about it.
No.
The food I ate life. Was so good. And I ate all of it without any prejudice. So there was New Orleans and the Sugar Bowl, man. It was nice. Great. It was just fantastic. We kind of held off on Christmas. And
I'm glad the dogs won.
Me and you both, man.
It would have been a long trip if they hadn't.
See, I had clothes picked out. I just decided that, you know what, I'm not going to wear this shirt just in case. And I'll wear it home if we win, but I don't want to wear it and it be the only thing I have left to wear. And we lose, and I got to be faced with that all the way home.
Well, yeah. And then you came back and we got to work, and we've had some a good week and a half, 2 weeks with Hello Texas.
Man, you have done a tremendous amount of background work, and I I feel guilty, sort of.
No, you're here.
We're having a podcast. Man, I think I kind of knew that all this technical stuff that you're doing in the background, the organizing, and
it only took me, what, 2.5 hours to do about a 30-second job to hook it up.
Yeah, but going forward, that'll get easy. That part will get easy. But all the stuff, man, I like the artist of the day thing that you put together.
Tim and I have been taking pictures. I've been doing it since 2012. You've been in it since.
Man, you found me. You found me in 2016.
16. Wow.
16. Yeah.
So you've got 3 or 4 years, and I've got 6 or 7 years of photos kind of just sitting there doing nothing. And I'm just a fan. We both do this. I do it especially because I'm just a fan, and the camera gets me backstage, and it gets me.
And that's where I started.
Yeah.
With that. And now I'm backstage, and now I'm,
so, you know, Tim and I both love the guy up front. We love the person singing, the person whose name's on the drum kit.
Man.
We love that. But as photographers, it's real easy to fall in love with a really good drummer or a really good bass player.
And it's just funny because we're friends with so many of them.
Right.
I, you know, it's nothing, you know, for me to text Dre with Co Wetzel's, "What's up, homie?" You know, and it just be about nothing to do with music, you know, and that is cool. You know, Michael Mode is the bass player for Tristan Merez right now.
Right,
we met him when he was flipping strings with Dalton Domino.
Right.
I met his mom. His mom is just incredible. Oh, his mom is, when she's in mom mode, is awesome.
It's like Bo Bolfing of
Sam Riggs,
guitar player. His parents come to all the shows around here. I know them just as much as I know Bo.
Yeah. Wade comes to town. Wade Bowen's dad loves Melissa.
Right.
You know, you see them, and they're just great people. And you get to know, I don't know, I guess we end up getting to know the people kind of to the side pretty good.
Well, by the way, Bo Bowen just got engaged. Did you know that?
No.
See that? He just went up to Niagara Falls and got engaged just last week. And
good for you, Bo. Congratulations.
And Dalton Hayes got engaged too.
I figured you saw that. His brother Mason tried calling me earlier and we was eating, and I got to call him back.
Yeah, I'm happy for the Hayeses, both of them, and Bo, and who else?
And Dalton Hayes, just so this Dalton is bass player for the Hoosier Brothers.
Hoosier Brothers, right.
Who's are doing, dang, I'm, man, I, you know, just everybody being busy and stuff and haven't really seen them much recently.
We'll talk about them in our next segment. I've got something that Tim and I are going to do, doesn't even know about yet.
Uh-oh.
We'll do a five.
Oh, good. Yeah. We'll
think on it a little bit, but I got a good one. Yeah, but artist of the day is just a way to showcase the photos of the people that we both love.
Excuse the example, Ben McPherson.
That one
caught you by surprise.
Well, a little bit, but only because I didn't tell him it was coming. Ben and I don't know each other that well. I know Ben. I know who he is. I look forward to watching.
It's kind of funny. Fiddle players kind of get these little cult followings, and I think he's one of those people that's got his own draw, and that's a good thing for any band.
And when I came up with this idea, when I was going through all the categories of people to showcase, it was bands, frontmen, songwriters, troubadours, female artists, drummers, bass players, guitar players, and I realized we got to have our own category for fiddle players and steel players.
Yeah,
it's just
for the Bobby Texases of the world.
Absolutely, exactly, yep. For the Bobby Texases of the world. So Ben was kind of tagged, but he was really random to be the first one. And
because you have like a random selector.
Yeah, a little bit. It's it, it's not totally random, but it helps me spread everything out. We're set up for a year of we scheduled all of 2020.
Don't give all the secrets away.
That's okay. To let everybody know, if they want to slide in there, I got to move stuff around. It's not just you're next. So
you've got an algorithm. Steve has an algorithm.
We have algorithms.
Yeah.
We have a spreadsheet for that. No,
yeah, we got it.
We have so many spreadsheets. But with Ben, the day I posted it, nothing really happened. We got like 20 hits, which I'm happy with because nobody knows who we are yet. But then Kyle Park shared it. Silver Saloon in, is it Granbury, I think, shared it.
The Silver Saloon is out of in Terrell, Texas.
Terrell?
Okay. Yeah.
And then the next day, Ben found it and shared it. And we had more people visit HelloTexasUSA.net in one day to look at Ben's photos than we did all the rest of it combined. And that's in, well, Holly Tucker has a huge following of fans, and they're loyal.
There was a lot of shares on Holly Tucker. Right.
And we're filming this on Saturday, and today we had Zane Williams, who just started his new band with Hill Country,
that's right, his new project.
Greg Roach shot him last night. Becky Steinhauer is going to shoot him tonight. I'm looking forward to seeing them this summer. But it was good timing on Zane. And Zane shared it, and my phone's over here TikToking away on people showing up. I just think it's cool that
when there's people, traffic moving through people to look at it. Yeah, without a doubt.
And it really is just to really no other reason to pay tribute to the friends that
here's
we have.
This guy. It's what he does. Yeah, I like that.
All because we're fans just as much as everybody else. And people need to know who Dre is and Ben McPherson and all of these people.
They don't know yet.
That make the Kyle Parks and the Mason Livelys and all that make them. The people playing behind them are just as much a part of it as the guys up front.
Agree.
And I don't think they get enough interviews and do. But whatever we can do to support, that's what we're here for.
I agree 100%. So. And I think that's kind of fun. We sort of spread the love around.
So it's the core of this year. But I'm also doing the five just to mix it up a bit.
Five are fun.
Yeah, it's fun to make lists. And then people tell me that I'm a moron for not putting somebody on the list. Jeremy Plato was number three this year because I left him off a bass player list earlier this year. And to my credit, it was the top five bass players to watch on stage. Plato doesn't do kicks and all that
stuff.
With,
so. Yeah, exactly. So with that. Well, because there's plays that big no fret bass thing. Right. But he's still a monster.
He is. He's a legend and one of my top five of all time. It's just you don't go to watch him jump off a drum kit and that kind of stuff. I meant before.
But you will go see Adam with Kane and Bryce.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, there's somebody to go watch.
He's like an extra from not Dawn of the Dead. What was the Quentin Tarantino vampire movie? He reminds me of one of the extras on stage on that movie.
Just almost over the top, but it's real. That's him.
Heavy,
just
heavy
jamming.
Metal country bass.
Without a doubt.
And, man, I love that band. Saw them three or four times last year, and it was fun every time.
Man, I seen Kane and Bryce open up for Hoosier Brothers and somebody else at the backyard a couple times in acoustic. And I thought, all right, we'll just
He played at Heartfest.
That's right.
And
the whole band come with him, and they all got up there and they sang together.
He played acoustic, but the band sat in the crowd and drank and had a real good
time.
So
funny thing, so we seen him acoustic, and I thought, well, great. He's just this kid, he's doing this. Seen them full band the first time at Coke Fest, and you could tell there's something, a little magic about that band. Yep. And they're tight. And so then we see them again, at Heart Fest, and the band is just there to support Kanan, who is supposed to be, it's just Kanan, and they were, It ends up, whenever Mike Stanley brought it, I won't even get into all that. It just ended up being an iconic moment. Tight, guys. Squirrel.
All right, so we've had a good couple weeks. We're on episode 2. We don't have an interview yet, but I bet we do by the end of the weekend.
Yeah, the weekend's not over with.
Yeah. You got a video coming out soon.
Yep, it's funny thing. So the other part of this whole thing, because I want to lead into this, is not just the music part. It's not just the musicians. And everybody says, what is this? Well, you have to listen all the time to know what this is, because it's always what this is what it is. Just as much as we like the bass players and the lead guitarist or the rhythm guitarist or the drummer, we also like there's other artists, there's other people around that make this whole thing happen in our scene. Photographers, videographers, the road guy. We've talked about this. And so one of the things is being able for us to be able to kind of put together a little bit of video production. And that's kind of, we've got some cameras sort of set up in here because, well, we're just sort of those kind of geeky sort of guys. That's what we're going
to
do.
We're pulling out all of the technological stuff
to see if we can do it to begin with.
It's not easy, but it's happening.
And so this week, one of the things we'd done was Tim Dodge.
Yeah.
You know, a photographer friend. So this whole thing is as much about the artist on the stage as it is the artist shooting the artist on the stage.
One thing about Tim Dodge I want to say is we met him at Riverfest, and randomly he just walked in and I said hi to him, not knowing who he was. And he said, hi, Steve. And I was like, all right.
So he had already said somewhere in social media that week that he was going to come by, I think.
And I wasn't expecting him, but I'm a big fan of Tim. And so he goes, I'm Tim Dodge. I'm like, oh my gosh. He said some of the nicest things about you and I. He's like, look, you and Tim are in the major leagues, like all stars.
I just don't see that. This isn't the first time I've heard this, and I don't get it.
Well, if I tell that to my wife, and she's like, is he got problems? Does he understand who you are? I am not a major league. Look, even in this room, I am not a major league photographer.
No.
I got that.
Neither of us. I enjoy it.
I like meeting the guys. I like doing it. But there are the Todd Purifoys and the Danny Vivians and the
Jay Trevino's, the Chris Pogues, Brad Coolidge,
Kaylee Grace.
Holy crap.
Look, have you seen Kaylee Grace's festival work recently?
Yeah.
She's shooting Cody Johnson tonight. She's jumped faster than anybody else that.
Man, she's grinding.
She is. She's scrambling.
She's grinding.
She's going for it.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. And
so we're going to feature photographers because they're artists as well. So it's featured artists of the day. And it's something that you and I know a little bit about, and we pay attention, and happy for our friends to get the attention they deserve.
Oh, absolutely. And and you know what? And it just gives us a opportunity to name drop them a little bit.
Yeah. So this is Hello Texas is just one huge name drop.
Really? Come on. It's in the name. Texas. Where are you from? Texas. Hey, if you just...
We interrupt this program for a special announcement.
Wait. That was just too good. I had to interview Kaylee Grace. Here it is.
While we tend to focus on Texas music musicians here at Hello Texas, we're also just as interested in Texas music photographers. And it's a little known fact that Texas music isn't confined to the borders of Texas.
It's not.
So that being said, from Kansas City, one side or the other, the owner and operator of Wildflower Soul Photography and one of the top concert photographers in the nation, I'll go that far, Miss Kaylee Grace.
Hello, Texas.
Hello, Miss Grace. Thank you for joining me tonight. It's great.
Thanks for having me.
You're coming right out of a big concert last night. How was Cody Johnson? Talk about that.
That was really emotional for me for a lot of different reasons. I had some light bulb moments, and it was just a full circle moment. It's kind of the story of how I actually got into photography. But the show itself was held at the Silverstein Arena in Independence, Missouri. They had played in Wichita, Kansas, well, in a town close to Wichita, Kansas, the day before. And so it was Cody Johnson headlining, and then Jesse Robb opened and John Wolfe opened. And it was 7,000 people arena, and it was sold out. And we had some really nasty weather Friday and Saturday, so it was like kind of sketchy as far as how everything was going to be. We had some ice and some snow.
Wow.
And, yeah, and ice is not safe to drive in. Snow is fine, but...
we don't know down here.
Yeah. I learned that the hard way due to Mother Nature one year. But anyway, so it was 7,000 people and a lot of great energy, and everybody did great. It was Cody brought his energy like always, and Jesse worked through some technical issues and did a fantastic job with his integrity and just being who he is as a person.
He steps up. Do you get to get backstage and meet any of the guys?
Well, my pass was all access, so I had that opportunity, and I didn't go backstage until Cody's set and tried to get some pictures of the guys then. And when I was running around during John's set, I ran into Jesse, which was cool. So got to talk to him for a few minutes, like reintroduce and familiarize him with name and face and all that. So that was cool. Like right before Cody set, all three of them were back there. And so I did get a picture of all three of them.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I know that Jesse and Cody did a duet together on Jesse's album, I believe. That's a cool picture to get.
It was a cool picture to get. I don't remember who it was on Cody's team. It was like, come on, come here, get your camera ready, take this picture. I was like, okay.
So you don't shoot arenas often. Yeah, that's one of the first times.
That was the first time I've ever shot an arena gig. So it was incredibly full circle and very special moment to have.
Absolutely. So how did you become a concert photographer?
So I lived in Texas all the way up until 2014 and then moved up here in 2014. And I never had the opportunity back all those years to go to any shows. And so it was in 2015, I think, I started going to shows. And one of the first shows I went to was seeing Pat Green at this small venue in Kansas. And that kind of just snowballed into me going to shows. And I would always ride the rail and have my cell phone and take pictures. And one of my friends from Texas, who's not very big into music and all that, but I've known her for a long time, she was like, you know what, you should pick up a camera and start taking pictures. And it was something I swore I'd never do due to my past. I was like, no. And so one of my concert friends, 2018, invited me to a show. It was January 12th, 2018, and it was at this venue in downtown KC called The Truman.
That's 2 years ago today.
Yes, so it gets
So you're 2 years old. You're 2 years old as a photographer.
No, it gets better.
Okay.
So he invited me to this show at this venue in downtown KC called The Truman, and it holds 1,200 people. It was 2 years ago today. It was sold out. It was Randall King opening for Cody Johnson.
Wow.
So we were maybe 10 people from the front. And so I took this picture and I posted it on Instagram. And what was it? The Tumbleweed Music Festival had commented on it.
Wow.
And at that time, they hadn't released the lineup for Tumbleweed that summer. But that summer, he was headlining. And so they commented on it. And so I responded back and I said, love the opportunity to shoot Tumbleweed. And they said, wish granted. And so I was like, Oh my God. Okay. Well, maybe I need to get a camera now and like start actually shooting shows and not like just go to Tumbleweed and just be like completely blind to what I'm doing.
So you were thrown into the lions.
Yeah. And so last night it was a complete full circle moment having gone to that show 2 years ago.
Absolutely.
And then having last night. So that's just how it all happened. It's not been long at all.
It blows me away that you only had a camera in your hand for 2 years and you are where you're at right now. It's incredible how far you've come in that short amount of time.
Thank you.
And before this interview started, I started going back and looking at all your photos and going back to the Brandon Ryder show and the Josh Ward at Green Hall and the stuff from when I first met you early in your career. Yeah. And so everybody knows you and I talk online all the time.
Right.
But this is the first time we've talked face to face. So I feel like I know all your stuff. I look at it all the time.
Right.
But it's you went from and Tim and I talked about this yesterday. You went from maybe struggling with ISO and settings to, all right, I got it. And you just bang. I think it was probably Tumbleweed or maybe Railbird where you could see you figure it out almost instantly. Like the set from one day was better than the day before. And the set after that was better and better. And then you just, there's nothing I can tell you anymore. So it was cool to watch. So you're a festival photographer, in my opinion. That's where you shine. Do you agree?
Thank you. You know what? I really love it. Honestly, if I could be a festival hippie year round, I'd totally do.
Yeah, I would too.
It's a lot of hard work and not a lot of sleep, but it's very rewarding and it can be very challenging.
So Tumbleweed 2018 was your first festival?
Yes.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, it was 6-ish months into me having picked up a camera.
Wow. Wow. That's gotta be scary, but you pretty much nailed it. And then you did Railbird. That's where I started noticing, oh, she's flying now. How was Railbird? That looked like a fun, different kind of concert.
That was so much fun. They had announced that, and it was a big deal because it was on Keeneland grounds, which is the racetrack in Kentucky. They had never had an event there other than the horse races. So it was a big deal for that. But like, you know, it's a very affluent area. There's a lot of history there. But what they brought into it was just a very uniquely diverse, well thought out set of artists. And
who played?
I'd have to look. I don't know.
Was Tyler Childers in that group, or was that Gary Clark, or was that?
Yes, it was. It was okay. Tyler Childers, Gary Clark. It was
the
Racketeers. It was Brandi Carlile. It was the Wooks. All the Robert Earl Keen. Mavis.
You shot him twice, if I'm not mistaken.
Tyler?
Robert Earl Keen. I believe you have.
More than twice, because he was at Tumbleweed, and then I shot him in November, December last year, and then at Railbird.
He's one of my favorites. So
he is too. Yeah.
Would you rather shoot the huge big stage, the festival stage, or the intimate, more like a Green Hall? Which one do you prefer? What kind of show?
I like them both because there's different elements of both that really push me and help me grow. But honestly, I've discovered that I really like the challenge of a high energy show.
That was going to lead me into Exit 111 because that's where you just left Texas music in the dust and you had Slayer and some of the bands that you got to shoot, and the hair flying with the heavy metal was just fun to see those photos.
The jump shots, that was cool too. It was, I remember I had wanted to shoot that since like finding out about it. Then I found out I got it, and then I started talking to some people who knew, really knew that music, and I was thinking, what the hell did I get myself in?
So how do you get access? What do you do to ask? And apparently everybody just says, yeah, come on. But for some of us, it's not that easy. They say, nah, not this time. How do you get consistent gigs like this?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's luck or I don't know. I am a part of an online publication, and so they reach out and ask for the request, and then if we don't hear, it's finding other avenues and how can I get it? I'm very persistent and I want to make it happen.
You hustle more than anybody else, I believe. I mean, there's some guys here in Texas that just have the connection and can walk into the back door and nobody stops them. But you've hustled, which has been really impressive to watch.
Well, and you know what? You bring that up, and that's something that Josh Ward has told me, because he came to Manhattan, Kansas in November, early November. It's like 3 hours away from KC. And like, it was him one night with Jesse opening, and the next night was Whiskey Myers in KC. And, you know, I pulled him aside and I was just like, you know what? I looked over my pictures from Green Hall and I'm sorry, like, I shouldn't have gotten that, you know? And like, and he was like, but you know what? You deserve to get it because you hustle and you make those connections and it means a lot to you and people see that. And, you know, when the Texas guys come to town and making them strawberry bread and, you know, making them have that feeling of home away from home.
Right. Anybody that you haven't got to shoot yet that's on your radar that you're looking forward to seeing that may not be coming yet, but that you're circled on your calendar that if they come, you'll go see them.
You know, I have like my calendar done for everybody that's supposedly coming to town that I'd like to shoot. So obviously it's those guys. But if we're talking Texas music, I'm really hoping, and I think it's true, but I'm really hoping that Randall King brings Tristan up when he comes to town later this month. And if that happens, I'll be really excited because I've been listening to his music and I'm really liking his stuff and where he's going and how he's presenting himself as a person. He's somebody that I can really get behind and support.
You're talking Tristan or Randall?
Tristan.
Yeah. Both of them are quality.
Well, I remember when Randall came to town, he played a venue called Knuckleheads and there was maybe 15 people there. And then, you know, now he comes to town and it's grown. So it's cool to see that growth.
Well, Tristan has, I went to go see Jake Worthington at Copeland, which is in the middle of nowhere, Texas. And Tristan happened to be opening and he blew me away. And he's got one of our favorite bass players, Michael Mode.
Yeah.
In the band. So yeah. If you had your choice, Texas country music or Texas, I keep saying Texas country music, Texas music, let's keep it right. Or the rock and roll Exit 111 shows. If you had to, if they said get on the bus and you're going to go on tour for 6 months with, which bus are you getting on?
That would depend on the Texas country artist, honestly. But if they said, oh, you don't get to know who it is, I'd get on the Exit 111 bus.
Yeah, too much excitement there, I think.
It's so much of a challenge, and I love a good challenge. You know, there was a couple of sets and Exit that really gave me that challenge. And, like, there was a photographer there that I had met at Railbird. He was a big help that weekend and, like, walking over the main stage and giving me a quick 411 on some of the artists and everything. And I remember just two of the sets just being blown away and walking away going, oh my God.
What other photographers do you follow that you aspire to become like? That's probably a bad way to phrase that question, but you know what I mean.
No, I know what you mean. Two of the ones that I follow probably would be two females. Honestly, it'd be Denny Soto from Texas.
I love Denny Soto.
Finally got to meet her this summer when she came up. Just as amazing in person as she is online.
Absolutely.
Extremely talented, very helpful, just warm and incredibly full of knowledge. Very underrated. she could jump on a tour bus. And
the first year we shot Coke Fest, or 2 years ago we shot Coke Fest, she showed up and I just about lost my head when I saw her out in the crowd. Not, I mean, I knew who she was, and I don't even remember who was on stage at the time. I went and found her and made sure that I met Denny Soto, because that's somebody I've been following for a long time as well.
Yeah. She was actually the one who invited me into the group, because really? She had been following me on my personal Instagram. And like, then when I created my other one, she was like, you need to join this group and everything, and just became one of the first sources of support and encouragement and help for me.
The group you're talking about, Texas Music Photographers online, that's that's kind of how we got to know each other as well. Really good supportive group of Texas. It's not even Texas photographers, because it goes beyond the borders.
Yeah.
But the people that shoot Texas music, some of the best photographers in the world are on that site, and you included. And I wouldn't have said that a year ago, but now I'm looking at your stuff in awe.
So two things. You had asked me about photographers that I follow.
Yeah.
The other one that I follow is, her name is Cora Wagner. She is in, I don't know if she's in Tennessee or Kentucky. I met her at Real Bird, and then I saw her at Exit again, and she's a Bucky's fan. so that was our connection, because in the pit of Railbird for Tyler Childers, I had my Bucky's gear on, and Tyler's drummer and Tyler himself commented on my Bucky's stuff, and she was there. And so we connected on that, and we've actually chatted beyond music festivals and stuff, and she's just become a really huge source of inspiration and help. She shot Bonnaroo. She shoots festivals all summer. Very talented, warm person.
So besides music, what do you like to shoot?
I haven't had the opportunity to do much, and I want to. I want to branch out and try some other different things. I did that Du Noir shoot this December. That was fun. Branching out and trying all different sorts of things. That's my one big goal. I am supposed to be shooting a wedding come this fall for a friend that I've known since high school. So we'll see how that goes.
Have you shot wedding before?
No.
Are you ready?
I mean, I think that you can and you can't be it until you actually do it.
Right.
I had thought about taking down my old stuff on Instagram, you know, like from the very beginning. And then I'm like, no, that's just a part of it all, you know, that growth, that progression.
So somebody that wants to get into doing this, do you have any advice? If you found that photographer in the pit that looked overwhelmed, like you probably were the first time, what would you say to that that person?
You know what? I've actually had a few people reach out to me on social media and message me recently, and that's just been a weird feeling.
That's cool. That's cool.
It is. A lot of people ask me, you know, what I shoot with, and just different, how did you get started doing it? Like, what avenues do you take to get to be at that point when the music starts type thing? I think I could keep coming back to a lot of the things that you've told me, and that Rock has told me.
Rock Williams.
Mm-hmm.
One of my mentors as well.
Yeah. Just with the patience and keeping things into perspective. And one of the things that, like, you've told me many times is to push those boundaries, but also to keep in mind the human element of them being people too, and how you visually approach going into shows of, you know, these are people, but respect the crew and the security at the venue and all these different things that make it up. And I think that's, I can see now how it's really important to start small and just build up all those different steps that you're not going to learn until you get thrown into those situations.
That's become one of my favorite things, is get to know the security guards at a festival and bring them a water. And by the end of it, heck, I still talk to one of the security guards from 2 years ago from one of the festivals I was at.
That's cool.
It's cool. And when stuff goes wrong, they're in your corner, and that's one of the secrets to this is you show everybody with respect. What else? What do you shoot with?
So I just upgraded not even a year ago. I was shooting with a Nikon D, 5100 or 5500? And I had a few lenses for that, and then I just upgraded to a Nikon D750.
Nice. What's your lens of choice?
I only have one so far, so.
Wow. You shoot all that with one lens?
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's what I've been told a couple of times, but I only have one lens, and it's the 70-200 f/2.8 Tamron. So
good lens. I just that's what you should have if you have one lens right there. So
yeah.
Do you have a home venue? Do you have a place that you consider your home base that you can always fall back to if to get comfortable again?
Yes and no. That's a complex answer because there's a venue called Knuckleheads. It's kind of small, but they don't care if you bring your camera or not, so it's great. It's only with bigger names that I've actually requested a media pass because I'm like, you're too big. I don't want to chance that. But then a lot of times I'll shoot at the Granada in Lawrence, Kansas, and sometimes that can go good and sometimes that can go not so good. So I think that I really don't have like a favorite.
Switching from photography, what music do you like? Who's in your playlist right now? Who's the ones that you focus on?
Oh God, you'd be really shocked with that one.
Probably not.
It changes. I do Spotify. I don't pay for it, but that's really my source during the workday. It can range anywhere from Spanish music, EDM, lounge, Texas country. Oh gosh, what's some other stuff I listen to? I don't listen to anything from the 80s. I can't do 80s. I can't. I just can't.
That's interesting.
To rock and roll, to blues, because Casey is a big city for blues. I love to discover new music and new artists to me, so I'm always open to hearing names and songs and stuff, but I'll really pretty much listen to almost anything. If I can't understand you, like if it's a rock and roll band and I can't understand you, I'm probably not going to listen to it.
I get that. I have a 16-year-old daughter, so I'm like, I don't know what they're saying, and I annoy her.
Like Billie Eilish, I just can't.
I went to Austin City Limits Festival and stood for 4 hours in a group of 40,000 15 and 16-year-olds just so my daughter could get up close.
Yeah.
And I get Billie Eilish now. I get it. I understand it. I like listening to her on the headphones. I can't say that I'm, you know, a big fan and I'm going to go search her out, but I can listen to Billie Eilish. I see why she's the big star that she is.
Fair enough.
Some of that other stuff, I just don't get. Most of the stuff my daughter listens to sounds like a background music for an indie movie, and I don't understand how that's not indie movie music. How it's stuff they play on the radio. But Billie is different. I get that one, but it's not my alley either.
Fair enough. So. Everybody has their own thing.
So besides photography, what else do you like to do?
I love to go eat at hole-in-the-wall restaurants, so to speak, ones that aren't chains. Casey Restaurant Week just started Friday, and it goes for the next week-ish. So foodie, when I go into new places.
One of my passions, that to find a new off-the-wall hidden restaurant. That's right up what I love to do too. So
yeah, riding. I don't have my license, but riding motorcycles. I love to do things that a lot of people won't. The adrenaline rush. Some of the things that I've done in the last few years, I guess you could say.
You went paragliding here recently, didn't you? Or what did you do in Mexico? Fishing. No, you did. What did you do in Mexico? I thought it was a hot air balloon or paragliding or.
Oh, okay. So a couple of years ago, I did do a hot air balloon ride over the mountains and the pyramids.
That's right.
Mexico City, and then most recently we went deep sea fishing.
That looked fun.
And then diving into cenotes, like all those. That's fun too. So
and I you did something with baby turtles. I thought I just saw a couple photos of it, but that looked really, really cool.
That's something that's really special to me. I used to own turtles, red-eared slider turtles, and actually moved with them up here.
Really?
I don't have them anymore, but yeah, so that's something that's really special.
That's cool. And you got to release baby turtles into the ocean. Is that what that was?
Yeah, I've done it a few times, and every time it's just as special. But yeah, we did when we went this last time in December, we released them at sunset out into the ocean. So that was cool.
It's just a Thursday for you. Just go to Mexico, release turtles on a sunset on the beach.
And then the next morning, wake up and go get a tattoo, and everybody thinks you're crazy, you know, before you hop on the plane to come back to the U.S.
What tattoo did you get?
I got a watercolor of a dahlia flower, which is the national flower of Mexico. So
where did you get it? It's as long as it's appropriate.
So. I got it on the front lower part of my left shin, so that leg is pretty much covered now.
You have more than that one, or just that's the first one?
No, I've got, I think it's 25 now, so I've got a lot of time and a tattoo chair from all my work.
What's your favorite tattoo?
I don't have a favorite, but I will tell you a cool moment though. I have two tattoos that are of songs. And one is from the lyrics of a Tyler Bryant and the Shakedown song. And it was the only song that would calm my soul last year. Every time I put that on, and I'd instantly feel peace if I wanted to go on a road trip or whatever. It's called Ramblin' Bones. So I had this piece put on the front of my shin, and I got the opportunity to interview the entire band at Exit 111. And so I was telling them that basically that story and some backstory of graphing them and meeting them and everything. So they were like, oh, I want to see it. So I pull up my jean pant leg, and like they all come around and start taking a picture of it.
That's cool.
They ended up posting it as their first picture on an Instagram, like multi-picture post. So that was a cool moment. Cool. Yeah.
If you're going to go that far, get the tattoo. The band better like it, so.
Exactly.
What's the other song?
It's a song called a band called Fruition. They're a progressive bluegrass band, and it's one of the guys in the band that wrote it. His name is Kellen, and it's the song is called The Meaning. And so one of the lyrics in there goes, all I know about being alive is that life's for the living.
That's deep.
Yeah.
Well, dang. Anything else that you want to talk about that I forgot?
I don't know.
And you're a huge Buc-ee's fan. You mentioned that earlier, but
yes.
We all are. But I think you've taken it to another level with your apparel.
You know, I want to get a Buc-ee's tattoo.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, I have all the Buc-ee's stuff, and it becomes a conversation piece at music festivals and stuff, and the most unlikely people coming up to you and telling you how cool Buc-ee's is, and they love it,
So I got to say, we're Hello Texas. Anybody really watching this should know what Buc-ee's is, but it's a convenience store with 600 fuel pumps, and it's as big as a shopping mall, basically, and they sell about as much stuff. And they have the cleanest bathrooms in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, whenever we travel, we have to go out of our way, even if it's 60 miles, to go to the bathroom there.
Yes.
Even if you have to hold it, because yes, they're clean, and there's no doubt that we'll be able to go in a clean bathroom. that's the claim to fame to Buc-ee's.
I just saw I connected with one of my festival friends that I first met at Tumbleweed a couple weeks back. And he was telling me that he has a friend that lives in overseas in, I think, London, he said. He's like, she loves Bucky's. So he showed me a picture of her in a Bucky's onesie. I'm like, I need this in my life now. Take all my money. Like,
yeah.
I need a dedicated Texan. I can go here. I will Venmo you. Get me something. Though I've talked, you know, when I talk to the Texas musicians and they come up and I'm like, I just, can you bring me some Whataburger? Can you bring me some Bucky's? And they laugh and I'm like, you know, you really don't get it.
I have a Bucky story I want to tell you. I always go to where they used to sell, they stopped doing it here recently, but they used to sell Texas country music. They had the CDs over on the side.
Why did they stop selling?
I don't think they were selling CDs. A lot of people don't buy CDs anymore. They stream it. So I haven't seen the CDs out, but I used to just go there every time to see and buy a CD. I was looking at the CDs and somebody else was there looking at the CDs. And I was holding a JB and the Moonshine Band CD. And I looked up and the guy smiled at me and it was JB of JB and the Moonshine Band.
That is cool.
I was like, is this you? And he's like, yeah, it's my CD. So we took a selfie together. I'm like, I was blown away by that coincidence. Texas is a big state, but a small town. Well, that's all I got, Kayla Grace. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That was fun. And well, we'll sign off. Miss Kayla Grace from Wildflower Soul Photography. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
And you have a good evening.
You too.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Hello, Texas. We're back.
Here we is.
I feel like we're in a radio studio right now.
You kind of sort of neat.
It's become that. I think
I don't think it's bad.
No, I've got more screens and cameras and microphones than most radio studios right now.
I was visiting with my friend Jen Allen yesterday, and
it
was
Jen Allen.
Her studio there at I'm just not gonna say where, but over there and. It's kind of vibey in there. Caught her in between her meeting with Ryan Seacrest or whatever. She hangs out with big dogs these days.
Ryan Seacrest?
Yes, apparently she's in conference calls and meetings and stuff with him from time to time. So
wow.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Yeah. Jen ain't small fry, man.
No, she's not.
I can't wait to do an interview with her.
All right. So we've decided it's time for a five. We're gonna put some content in this podcast. Five bands that we expect huge things from in 2020.
Oh well, let's see. I'm gonna reposition here.
Let's start with.
I feel like I'm on a trivia game.
Let's start with a band that is known but is ready to make the next step.
Known, ready to make the next step.
You want me to start off? Because I kind of set that up for myself.
You did. Go ahead.
Cody West. Now, Cody's a big name. Granted, I mean, everybody should know who Cody West and his band is by now. But his new single, October, is as good as anything on the last one. And that's a good feeling. So many bands have a great first album, and their second album is kind of rushed and kind of
everybody's pushing them. Hey, that was a great album. Yeah. When's your next one coming? See, here's some new stuff.
And there's a lot of pressure, and there's they're touring, and they don't get the chance to write like they did for that first baby album. And Green was about as best of a debut album as you could possibly have, in my opinion. But October has the potential to take it to the next step. And whatever the name of his next CD is, I think that's going to put him at marquee level
headline festivals.
And he should. It's when it's going to happen. I think he's on the rocket ship.
Yeah, and I, you know, we don't believe that there's like a time. It's the time is whenever the content puts you there. You know, it's not a matter of you serving your time or you play. It ain't like that.
Right.
Yeah, and I agree with that without a doubt.
You got somebody in mind?
Man, Chris Colston.
Yeah.
You know,
he's underrated in my mind, but every time I listen to him, I'm like, man. That's...
Every time I see him play, and I don't know if it's, for me, I don't know if it's just because he's just such a nice guy.
Yeah.
And he's always just real polite, and always, you sometimes around these young kids, I feel like some old man, because you're like, yes, sir.
Uncle
yes,
Steve
sir.
And Uncle Tim, Uncle I'm going to give you some wisdom
hey,
here.
Hey, Uncle Tim, how's it going? You going to take a good picture of me tonight? Yeah, little nephew, we're going to take care of you. Come on back.
That's exactly how it is.
Yeah, sometimes, but he's one of those ones, that if you've seen a Co-Wetzel show this year, if you've seen Parker McCollum at least once this year, I promise you, you've seen Chris Colston. And if you ain't giving that guy, I mean, he's country, man. There's a lot of really good country acts going on right now.
Yeah.
A lot of really good. As much as there's rock and roll, there's some really good authentic country.
Okay, so Chris Colston and Cody West, number one. Let's pick some locals. So a couple local bands, because we know more about the local scene than
probably.
For me, I've heard a preview. I've heard snippets.
I know where this is going.
Mike Stanley,
without a doubt.
Man, he's got some good stuff coming, and dang, he's better release it soon because I'm tired of sitting on it.
It's hard. You go somewhere to eat with him and some friends and stuff, and you start talking about the album, and you feel like you just can't talk. You can, but you want to listen to him, but you can't. Listen, you can't just pull up Spotify or iTunes or whatever whenever you're sitting at the table to hear it. You know why? Because I got to go to my stinking Dropbox app because just to play it because...
It's one of the...
But it is so good. And it's just, it's like everything else. It's money. It's just waiting to be mastered and distributed.
Now let's just post it on Hello Texas and even the rough cuts sound great. So there's some powerful, powerful songs in there with so much meaning and so much poetry. And
there's a lot of meat in it. Man. So much meat in it.
It's radio ready. They got the hooks, but if you pay attention and you listen to the songs, it's so deep and so meaningful.
There's, and
some tough subjects too.
Yeah, and you're jamming. You're head bobbing on them. You know, it's just really good stuff. I agree. I think we both got that one.
Okay.
In that one, Mike Stanley.
You got somebody else?
Hoosier Brothers.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I've got a couple more local ones actually.
But
Hoosier Brothers are another one. You know, they were back in the studio recently. They've got some new stuff coming along, and listen, Josh Hoosier, the front man for the Hoosier Brothers, has got this soulful Southern. I wish I could just explain it, but you know, when you're hearing it on the radio, you know that's Josh. You know it's the Hoosier Brothers, and he's there. It's his own lane, and that's exactly.
I saw, was it either a photo or a video snippet of him playing without a cap on, and he just looked cool.
I agree. I wish he. I know.
Take
he's got
the
some
cap
hat.
Off every now and then.
I know he's got some hat deals. So,
yeah, but it looked like a different person up there because I had never seen him without a cap
it's
on.
Cool look, right?
Yeah, it was a cool look. I agree. I've heard some of the stuff they released already. I don't have any special access, but everything they do is good. I mean,
I believe that
they're just so ready. They've always been ready.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I think it's just, I think with them right now, I think it's just a time it's coming.
Just part of the,
yeah, just kind of the grind.
Some of the best bands I ever heard. Nobody ever heard of them before.
True story.
Now, you story. Better have heard of these guys, but
so we're at what, number three?
Yeah.
Four? Three?
Yeah. Three.
Three.
We're number three. Dustin Brown.
Dustin Brown.
Look, I just know Dustin Brown from going to shows. I've never seen him play. Only through word of mouth, only through what I've heard. But I've got inside information that he's going to have a release this year, and it's really good. So Dustin Brown, I'm sure that he's local enough that you and I will be doing some stuff with him for the pre-release, and he's going to start playing a little bit before.
I will add that to my list of stuff to listen to.
I'm looking forward to what I've heard.
Yeah.
Out of that. And just a one of those art house, coffee house type artists, I think.
It's so, a little bit more of your jam.
Yeah, yeah.
I got you.
You put a guy with a guitar, or put a person, not a guy, guy or girl with a guitar on stage singing a song that they wrote, and I'll pick that over almost anything else.
You're a sucker.
Every time you do that, I can hear it. It comes to the
really?
Back. Yeah. That's what this thing's to keep that from happening.
I won't touch it no more.
if you hit the table, I can hear it all the way to your mic.
So. Oh, wow.
All right. So what are we on, number two?
Number two. Yep, number two. Number two.
We're playing with our new toys.
Does it make you? Well, I'm watching a line over there. Yeah. I'm watching every time I get real loud. I'm trying to, I don't know whether.
Because it'll get real loud.
We got the sound over here. We got the video up here. We've got a web screen over here.
And you've got one looking right at you, and I've got mine to the side. Otherwise, I've got the big one up here.
We've got camera one looking at Tim, camera two looking at me, and camera three over here looking over our shoulder.
See, and this one right here that's looking at me, I don't know what to do with it. I guess I could, whenever I'm talking, I could look at it like I'm looking at you, and then we'll switch the cameras back. This is the nerdy part of this.
We're just having a conversation.
This is the nerdy part I like. It's kind of funny.
All right.
Number two.
Okay, so just anyone.
Somebody that I know you've heard the name before, and I'm seeing some movement coming from them. A guy named Jamie Weston.
Oh, yeah.
He had done some things like a couple of years ago. He's friends with our buddy Mason Hayes. Mm-hmm. And I think Mason is playing with him now. Yeah. I haven't talked to Mason a little bit. Holidays, life, he's getting married. And anyway, we haven't really caught up much. I guess he's still playing with him. Anyway, Jamie Weston, he was doing some things, went to Nashville. And has came back, decided that he's going to put some things together, and I'm seeing he just signed with some people. So probably a name we're going to see popping up a pretty good bit probably over the course of the year.
I've got a good one for this spot. Tristan Merez.
Well, there's another one right there. Holy crap.
I got to see him really unexpectedly at Copeland and mentioned him in the five of one of my favorite shows of last year. He opened for Jake Worthington. He's got it. He's got
He's opening a lot of stuff for Randall King. And
yeah, he's got the songs, the voice, the stage presence, the band. Michael Mode is playing with him.
Yeah.
Bobby Texas is playing with him.
Yeah.
He just has the package that the media wants, that he's going to sign with some. He may have just signed with somebody.
Oh, don't get me lying.
I seem to remember that, but he's going to if he hasn't.
Yeah, and if he don't, what are they even thinking?
Yeah, it's some bands you hope that they have it and they.
And then there's other ones you know they got
that
it.
One. He's just
one of them.
One of them.
Yep.
Speaking of one of them, let's go to our number one, because I think you and I kind of agree.
I may actually have a different one for a number one than you.
Then make number two. Did you have number? You said Jamie Weston.
Yeah, I said Jamie Weston for number two. All right. And understand that the number that it is, it's not necessarily a ranking.
Correct.
So if you make it to number one, chances are it's just because it took us a minute to think of that name to get to it.
I've saved this name because people should know who this is. But who do you have? I'm curious.
I have Coby Cooper.
Coby Cooper. I have not seen Coby Cooper.
Holy crap.
But that's on me.
Yeah.
He's big enough that that's my fault. That's not his fault. I just haven't had a chance.
Yeah.
But man, he's got a huge following.
In this particular instance, I will put number one on that one as my top pick if I was going to rank them. I think he will probably be the one. Him and Chris Colston, I think, will be the two probably up and comers that are going to make big wave.
If music was a stock market and I had to buy low and sell high, he's not low, but he's still low enough that you can become a billionaire if you get in right now.
You better believe it.
is Randall King. There's never been somebody that I thought was going to be more of a huge superstar than Randall King. By now, but even though he's still playing Texas and not, you know, Russia and China, because I think that he will
be one of those ones. Yeah.
I think that he has the potential to be as big or bigger than Garth Brooks. I mean, you name the biggest name you can think of. I'm not gonna put pressure on him.
Right.
But, I mean, Cody Johnson is the prototype of what Texas country music can do. Randall's got all of that. He's got the band, the support,
the look, the charisma, the songs, the story, the music, the story, the whole bit.
Everything about the kid is just authentic, and that's what Cody Johnson is. That's all these guys that rise up and make it big. He's such a great songwriter. He's such a great singer, such a great performer. He's such a great guy.
The one thing I don't think we really talk about a whole lot is you can see is the work ethic.
Yeah.
In their background, and you see it from their parents or what they did before they did this. You know, Randall King comes from a line of truck drivers. You know, they haul hay. That's what his dad does, yeah. I think. I've got a Randall King shirt, and it's the front of a big Peterbilt. I love it. Yeah.
The one thing I heard just yesterday is one of the top stories on the news was Garth Brooks' new 4-hour documentary is coming out, and he's so shocked of what his ex-wife said, and it was all over entertainment media yesterday. The name of the documentary is called The Road I'm On. That's a song that he's going to put on his next CD that he's performing right now. The writer of The Road I'm On is Randall King. That's why,
how big this is going to be.
And it's
fissing to happen.
Yeah, it's already happening. It just hasn't hit.
Blown up. But this season hasn't started yet. So I'm really, it's just getting started. Right. We just finished up with Steamboat, and Milo Fest is quickly becoming the second benchmark. You know, it used to be, you know, Steamboat, then LJT, but now I think it's becoming Steamboat, Milo Fest, and LJT to get the concert season rolling. So I think we'll start seeing.
For me, LJT is, for me personally, when I think, okay, now it starts, and now it begins. Now we go 2020, and then it.
Because we had some shows we hit and miss between now and then. And then LJT comes.
And it's
like, it's just, it blows wide open. You see everybody at LJT, and then you see them 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later.
So there's a five. We can divvy Good. That up. I got
more of them that could be on there, but I think we just covered that good.
Yeah. There's some good bands there that I'm looking forward to seeing, that the bands that I'll never get to see because I can't afford a ticket and they won't let me in. I'm looking forward to that time when I can say I knew him when. On all these people,
without a doubt, man, and it's cool that I've kind of been in this long enough to start kind of seeing some of that stuff. You know, I remember seeing, you know, being able to say, "Hey, I seen Co Wetzel in the 2017 LJT whenever he was like the second or third act in the afternoon or something or other.
And then
a week later he was at the backyard, right. And then the next day he's playing a 2 o'clock show at Lone Star Jam in the bleeding sun.
I saw him when he opened for Sam Riggs at Shep's, and he had to play in the 110 degree heat.
Yeah.
And I had never.
That was a week or two after.
I didn't know what to expect.
And I said, man, you got to see this.
Well, I got there and it was 8 deep with college girls, and college girls don't show up for the pre-show at Chef's. And it was as much of a party as I, from the first note, I'm like, oh, this
here
is
it goes.
This is new.
No one to turn the show into a Co Wetzel, you know, orgasm,
me,
but
the ones that have, that, I feel like we've been there to watch the riser. Whiskey Myers.
Seen that.
Cody Johnson.
Seen that one.
Parker. Parker McCollum.
Man, we haven't talked about that much, but yeah, we will. Let's save that because there's a whole, we could almost do a whole episode on Parker.
Talking about bands and people that deserve it. Parker's right at the top of the list that just puts in the work ethic and and is the same off the stage as he is on the stage.
So we're on Parker. I'm going to go ahead and come up with it.
Okay.
For the first time I ever seen Parker was at Chef's. The picture, I took a picture of him at that show. Mm-hmm. He had on the college boy, you know.
It wasn't the Coca-Cola shirt?
No, it was some crazy colored shirt or whatever. He stole that picture and he used it on his social media all everywhere. That was his picture for like, I don't know, up probably till last year. Parker, I'm not coming after you about stealing my picture.
I just think
it's funny.
Where's my money?
I need my royalties, baby. Where's that at? Just get me on the bus
after a show.
Hey, Parker, just tell Trenton's got my number, and we'll talk about royalties in that picture you used. So it's all good. I'm
happy to be a part of it.
No kidding, man. Without a doubt.
And I try not to fanboy out, especially on the bigger bands. They don't need some old photographer.
It's hard sometimes,
ain't
it?
Yeah.
But it's nice whenever you walk in and they know who you are and you're kind of invited in.
Yeah. I always say I'm just a 14-year-old fangirl screaming on the inside. Heck, Jack Ingram liked my tweet yesterday, and I'm at work about to flip out.
Steve sends me this text, and he says, you know, I'm sitting here at a table with, I don't know, just whatever multi-million-dollar deals going on because Steve's just a Mac like that.
And then Jack Ingram liked this stuff,
and he's like, I'm squealing like a 12-year-old girl inside or something like that. It was just hilarious.
It's just surreal to know that the heroes of ours, the people that we're such fans of, see the stuff and just acknowledge it. That's it. That's all.
Yeah, kind of a neat thing. Yeah.
So that's it. That's episode two. I hope, I pray that the audio and the video all comes out
together.
We have experience of doing a whole take and then realizing that it was
crap.
Didn't record.
The whole idea here is to be able to do, you know, multiple platforms.
And we're working the kinks out.
Absolutely. Learning, you know, when is it going to be okay to reference the video in the audio podcast thing? And what about the video for the podcast? The two platforms, one don't care about the other.
There's a lot of moving parts.
So we're working it through it. If you're following along on the journey, man, we want to just say thank you so much. So much. I don't know what platforms you're picking this up on. We are
on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn.
I don't get it, but
nobody's seen us on LinkedIn, but we're there.
I don't drive anywhere else. I don't see why I'd be driving here either.
But above all those five places we're on, HelloTexasUSA.net is go and sign up, become a member. I don't even know what that means to be a member, but eventually we're going to send you something or an email or a newsletter or
that's exactly where that's going.
You'll be on the Hello Texas Street Team or we'll figure it out. Didn't even know we could get members until people started signing up. And I'm like, we have seven members now. We have 20 members now.
It is so funny. And just thank y'all. I bumped the thing. Yeah, just thank y'all so much, man. We can't tell you thank you enough. Just go to HelloTexasUSA.net, and that will lead you to all the other platforms. If you have one you prefer over the other. And listen, don't stop there. If you're listening to this on YouTube, subscribe. Send us something. Let us know. And if you don't like it, you keep your opinions to yourself. We've got something funny to say about it. Not really.
Send the complaints to me. Send the complaints to me. I have a spreadsheet for that.
You know some people. To send a spreadsheet to, right? Hey, take that camera and turn around and show them. This is, you know what? I don't even know if I want people to see it because it's so, you can see that's the rig right there.
So we got that. Cam over here. We got camera one. We got some stuff there. We got the live there.
And all the people that are listening to this are going,
with the
We don't
there.
Care about none of that. Well, we're sorry you don't care about none of that. We're hoping that this will encourage you to go to YouTube or to go to the fake books or whatever it is.
And, that's where all the problems came from.
Oh, poor Steve. Steve's a trooper. Listen, man, I have just had an absolute blast. We came out here. We had some food and everything. Got to hang out with you and your wife, seeing your spoilt daughter. Let's do the outro. You ready?
What is the outro?
I don't know. I'm Tim Murphy. I'm Steve Peters.
I'm Steve Peters.
I'm Tim Murphy. Bye, Texas.